and never leaning.
Had to go old school.
That memory feels so right.
I gotta lift this rock old school.
Let me hear you tell me you want me. Let me hear you say you'll never leave me, baby, until the morning light.
What y'all know about that? Man, what's going on, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Tariq Radio. I am your gracious host. My name is Tariq Nasheed. I'm so glad to have everybody in here chilling with me tonight. Ready to chop up game, trying to get that body count down and trying to get that game up. The phone number is 818-850-5404. That is the number. And what we're going to do is take that real quick commercial break. And I don't want y'all to move a muscle. We will be right back, right here on Tariq Radio. Don't move a muscle.
Hey, what's up? This is Mr. Locario, the bad boy of the dating game. Go to UndeniableGame.com and get my free audio program, Undeniable Game, which teaches you 7 easy-to-follow tips on how to really attract beautiful women. The Undeniable Game audio program is absolutely free to download, so you have nothing to lose and everything to gain. Master the game and get your free copy at UndeniableGame.com. That's UndeniableGame.com.
Ebonomy is a simple way to search black websites, black podcasts to support black businesses and network with black business owners and professionals. On Ebonomy, you can add your own website, your own business, your own podcast show, or you can do classified ads. Download Ebonomy right now for iPhones or Androids, or you can go to Ebonomy.com today. That's Ebonomy.com. Yo, check out comedian Rico Suave on his brand new YouTube channel called The Opinion Junkie, folks. And he's broadcasting from New Orleans, where he gives his comedic take on today's pop culture and things like viral videos, music, and current events and everything else. So you need to go to his YouTube channel right now and subscribe. That's The Opinion Junkie on YouTube by comedian Rico Suave. Check it out right now, folks. What's up, family? You need to check out the brand new website called ashkicking.com. Now, that is a black-owned business that sells fragrance products. It has unique incense burners, scented candles, incense sticks, and health and beauty products. They have body butter, hair moisturizer, face moisturizer, the whole nine yards. It's 2017. There is no reason for any of y'all to be crispy and ashy out here in these streets. Go to ashkicking.com. That's ashkicking.com. What's going on, family? Check out this brand new teaser trailer for a superhero movie called Dark Chaos, Maze of the Universe. Now, Dark Chaos is starring a black female superhero character, and this film is produced and directed by POV Hilarious D. My man is doing his thing on YouTube, and this trailer is a must-see. So go to YouTube, type in Dark Chaos, Maze of the Universe, and check it out right now.
The most intense new video game app has now arrived. A medieval kingdom has been plagued with chaos and disorder. An evil force has dominated the land. And now it is up to the bravest knights to fight back the demonic forces and bring justice to the kingdom of the Moors. Play the newest, most exciting Battlefight game app ever, Moorish Kingdom. Available at moorishkingdom.com.
You are now tuning in to the King of Game, Tariq Elite, on Tariq Elite Radio.
Put some respect on my name.
Yo, we are back right here on Tariq Radio. Glad to have everybody tuning in. Glad to be here, ready to chop up game with the family. How are you guys doing? I hope you guys have your Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4 DVDs. You can get that at HiddenColorsFilm.com. Ladies and gentlemen, and I hope you got your Tariq Elite gear at TariqElite.com. All the fresh clothes, the sunglasses, the t-shirts, the shoes, the whole nine yards. And I hope you got your 1804 shirts at 1804movie.com. 1804 Movie, that's the new Haitian documentary film that we're doing. We're in the middle of doing it now. I actually filmed my segment yesterday. And usually I do my segment last and I kind of fill in the blanks and kind of piece everything together. So I did my part. So we're coming along with it. We're over the halfway mark. A lot of folks are asking about the release date for 1804. We're looking at no later than November. I want to get it out by, August. I wish I can get it out by August. That would be the ideal time, the end of summer. But the latest will be November. So I'll keep everybody posted, but it's going to be out within the next few months, no later than November, because again, we're almost done. And we put the movies out like real quickly after we complete the editing and everything. So it's coming along real good and it's real lovely. And what's good about this one, I won't say good or bad, because some people like the lengths of the Hidden Colors films. The Hidden Colors films are usually 2 hours, 30 minutes. This one is not going to be as long. You dig? Because we're talking about one subject. So this will be, I think, 2 hours max. Even if that, by 2 hours, for an hour, 45 minutes, or 2 hours max. So it's not going to be one of those long Hidden Colors epics. But it's real good information, though. The information is real action-packed. A lot of exciting stuff in the film, and I can't wait for you guys to see it. It's just a great story, the Haitian Revolution and the history of Haiti, and we're going to tie in how that relates to us African people globally. So just a very good movie. I can't wait for you guys to see it. Ladies and gentlemen, shout out to everybody in the chat room. Shout out to everybody who listens to Ism Radio, all the fans of Ism Radio. Ism Radio is blowing up. People are liking Ism Radio. We had some tryouts for some female co-hosts to join me and my lovely permanent co-host, Layla. There were four women there. There was a lady named Bree from Chicago, lovely sister. There was another very lovely sister from LA, Alexis. There was another lovely young lady. Her name was Paris. And where's Paris? She's from Connecticut. And then we had another sister, the last one, that was Porter. And she's from Texas originally. So a lot of people voted. We had a thing on Twitter where people could vote. We put up a poll where people could vote on who they wanted. And over 50% of the people voted for the first young lady, which is Bree. So I think we're going to bring Bree on in and try her out and see how she does on the show. A lot of people like Bree because she's very down to earth. And there was a lot of stuff that I liked about a lot of the women. There was a lot of stuff I liked. I liked Bree because she was very, you know, real down to earth, very natural. I liked her. I liked Alexis. That was the second girl. She was very cute. And it was an LA vibe with her. Very laid back LA vibe. Very sexy LA laid back vibe with her that I liked. The one that got the least amount of votes was the young lady named Paris. Very dark, beautiful sister. But the thing is, you know, she admitted she's married to a white dude. So I think she lost a lot of brownie points. You know, she was you know, they put her in the Bedwinch category. But she was actually very qualified because she's done broadcasting before. She's done television broadcasting before. So on a broadcasting level, she's very qualified. But the thing is, with the show, we talk about a lot of social issues. So we want people to kind of know what's going on. And then the last young lady, her name was Porter. She's an ex-military girl, beautiful sister, and she's a lesbian. And she revealed that on the show. We didn't know that. And that was a very interesting dynamic. And there were a lot of mixed feelings with her. Some people were kind of thrown off by that. They felt some feminist vibes. A lot of people liked her personality. I think she had a great personality. A lot of folks, there was just a lot of mixed stuff with her. But a lot of folks did like her. But for the most part, people like Bree. So I think we're going to bring Bree in on Ism Radio. And you can check out Ism Radio at izmradio.com, ladies and gentlemen. There's a lot of folks calling right now. Let's see who the hell these people are. Hello?
What's up? What's up, Pete Flex?
What's up, brother? You in there popping popcorn, brother? What's going on with all that noise in the back?
Nah, brother, I'm in the bus.
You on a bus?
Yeah, I'm headed to the crib.
Okay, well, you taking the bus from work?
Yeah, heading back from work, yeah.
What part of town you live in?
Oh, man, I live in Compton.
Damn, nigga, you taking the bus. Where you taking it down? Rosecrans? Where you taking the bus?
My nigga, I'm taking it from Stillmore. Now, you can calculate
God
that.
Damn.
My nigga, I got to do what I got to do.
That's got to be a 3-hour bus ride.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, that is. Has to be. God
yes,
damn. We got to get you a vehicle,
yeah,
brother.
All right, my brother. Hey, my nigga, when it's $18 an hour, I get there soon.
There you go. How long you been working over there in Stillmore?
I say about 6 months now. 6 months? Yeah, about 6 months.
Brother, I respect your grind, brother. I respect your grind. Hey, brother, I respect your grind, man. When I lived in Compton, we had to go.
Right.
I had to go out to Thousand Oaks, man, to get some paper back in the day, man.
Oh.
Nigga. Yeah.
That's way far.
You got to do what you got to do, right. Man. You got to do what you. Hey, yeah, I'm not knocking you. So I'm with you, brother. So what's so?
I got two little ones, and I got a 5 for my boy. So.
Yeah. Yes, indeed. So what's on your mind, brother?
Oh, man, I had to call you some compliments, man. First of all, man, thank you for showing us, homie, how to keep your professionalism, man. I mean, I was done with Sarah, my nigga, just that $40 shit.
Yeah.
My nigga, I was done with her, my nigga. But, you know, I mean, I just watched you, how you kept it going, not even giving her sad, my nigga. But that's how you're supposed to do it, homie, on real.
Real talk, brother. Much respect. Thank you for the call,
man.
Brother. I'm going to get on. Oh, sorry, bro. I had to cut your brother off, but I'll touch on that a little bit later. I don't want to, you know, get too much in that, but I'll touch on that a little bit later. But somebody in the chat room said 3-hour bus ride. Yeah, my dude is doing a 3-hour bus ride on him. Let me talk about some stuff that's going on in the media before I get into the topic of the show, because today's topic, I'm going to talk about the question, are people really naive to white supremacy? That's today's question. Are people as naive as they pretend to be when it comes to systematic white supremacy? That's what we're going to talk about today. And have you guys been following the Cosby trial? Now, Bill Cosby, as we know, he's on trial right now. The white supremacists, they've been racializing this whole thing. And I've said it many, many times. This whole Cosby trial is racialized. It's racially motivated. I don't know, they can kind of spin it any way they want to spin it, but this trial is 100% racially motivated. And the woman he's on trial with is Andrea Constand. That's her name. Now, what Bill Cosby did, it was an out-of-court settlement years ago, but the white supremacists got on code and said, fuck that out-of-court settlement. They were supposed to seal the particulars of the case. And you can't really make deals with white supremacy. It don't work like that. Even if you pay them off, they can come back and bite you in the ass. You know, if you're black, you know, they don't share the same code with you. So, you know, they broke the little rules and said, okay, we're going to get this one last case because this is the only case they can bring on Cosby because all the other cases are out of the statutes of limitations. So this is the only way they can criminally charge Cosby, which most likely they are. It's jury nullification already. So all the white supremacists are on code. It's jury nullification. They tampered with the jury to get all the black folks off, and they settled for 2 black folks, most likely some coons who's just going to go along to get along. And they will probably criminally charge and convict Bill Cosby, unfortunately. And when they do that, everybody's going to go after the money. This is a money grab. The minute they have Bill Cosby as a convicted rapist, which they're probably going to do, it is going to be a money grab. Now, if you watch the case and look at the case, that woman, Andrea Constand, she changed her story with the police a few times. I mean, if you look at the case, the woman couldn't even get the lie straight. She kept changing the dates. It's just a fucking mess. But that doesn't matter. The fact that she couldn't get the dates right and some of her story contradicts other statements made by her, that doesn't matter. In a system of white supremacy, all sex between a black man and a white woman is considered rape, whether consensual or not. I've said that many times. All sex is considered rape. And the white supremacists, they always give the white supremacist female an out whenever she needs it, and that out is to say she was somehow forced, drugged, or coerced into dealing with a black man. They always give them that out. That's the Patty Hearst clause. And I used to talk about the Patty Hearst thing back on the Mac Lessons show back in the day. For those who don't know, Patty Hearst was a very rich white girl, a white lady rather. I'm not going to call her a girl. She's from the Hearst family. Back in the 70s, the early 70s, this trust fund baby, I won't say she was, her family was rich. This white woman came from a very rich family. Her name is Patty Hearst, and she joined this, the, what's the name of that group? It was the Sindhilese Liberation Army, the SLA. It was something like that, the SLA. It was like a Black Panther type of group. They weren't the Black Panthers, but it was like this militant group. This anti-government militant group that went around robbing banks. So Patty Hearst got with this group. She was robbing banks with them. And, you know, it was a whole real big thing back in the early 70s. And then, you know, when the shit went down, Patty Hearst played the white girl role and said, hey, you know what? They got me, but they brainwashed me. I was brainwashed. They coerced me and brainwashed me. And they always use that with the white women. With black folks, when we do something, we can't use the brainwash. That's black culture. That's part of our culture. That's just what we do. But if white people do anything, especially anything with any black people, oh my God, they were coerced. Just like with pimping and hoeing. When pimps had white women, oh, they coerced her. They gave her drugs. They drugged the white woman. That goes back to Othello. I talked about that before, the whole Othello thing and the William Shakespeare play about Othello, the Moor, the African, who was with the Italian Desdemona. The white woman, the people were saying that Othello must have drugged her to make her want to fall in love with a black man, with a Moor. So that's an old thing. If the white woman is with a black man sexually, something must be wrong. It has to be rape. And that's the white woman's out. Because there's a negative stigma that white supremacist males give white women. There's a stigma that they give white women when the white women are known to have had sexual relations with a black man. There's a major stigma that they get. That's like in the porn industry, a lot of women, when they have sex with black men in the porn industry, their so-called price goes down because the white male viewers are put off by that. They're insecure sexually about that. So that bothers them. So you need a psychological out. If the white woman says she was somehow sexed down against her will, she can kind of get a pass. There always has to be that coercion thing. She was robbed. She was set up. She was brainwashed by the black man. The black man gave her drugs. The black man raped her and took her pussy from her. It's never she chose to do it. If you're a white supremacist, if you think like a white supremacist, that's how you get out. That's how you can get your white pads back. So a lot of older, you know, these Cosby accusers, these older white women, they can get that pass. And brothers got to watch out for that. But there's some football players recently, by the way, who got charged with rape. I can't think of their names because I don't follow college sports like that. But these were some, I know one of the main players was a well-known college player. And I can't think of the brother's name right now because I don't really give a fuck about football like that because I'm tired of the shit being ran like a plantation. Shout out to my brother Colin Kaepernick. I don't fuck with the NFL. The NFL and their sponsors. I want to find out who the sponsors of this season's NFL team in games are because I don't even want to rock with them. Because if y'all have this whole plantation mentality where the Negroes are just supposed to shut up and play and they talk about issues that white mommy and white daddy tell them to talk about, I don't want to be a part of that. I don't want to watch that plantation coon Negro shit. If a brother stands up and says, hey, I don't want to talk about what about black on black crime and drugs for hugs and hugs for drugs. No. I want to talk about systematic racism and all these black folks getting killed. And then y'all try to blackball the dude. I'm cool on you and your organization and your sponsors. And more black people got to be like that. You don't have to huddle up in front of the TV to watch Coon Fest because that's all they're doing, and they're making it a Coon Fest. They're going to punish you if you say something. Like, we got to charge that shit to the game and let them know we're not going to fuck with you if that's how you're going to roll. Yeah, somebody in the chat room said Sean King and Boyce Watkins, they're boycotting the NFL, and I'm boycotting it too, and I want to boycott their sponsors. See, I want to take it a step further. See, it's one thing to boycott the NFL, but when you start boycotting their sponsors, that's where you got to go. Y'all got to look and see who's sponsoring this shit, and then you daily charge their ass to the game on your social networking sites, on social media. Say, hey, Coors Light, if you're fucking with the NFL, we ain't fucking with you. And, you know, they like to have a lot of commercials for the NFL that panders to the Negro audience because they know black folks like to watch sports and like to watch football. Y'all got to charge those sponsors to the game. We got to start getting serious and stop being just complacent and complicit Sambos all the time. But like I was saying earlier about the college player, these college players got charged with rape. I can't think of what school it is. Somebody in the room might let me know. And the fact that one player got charged and several others got charged for, I think, taking pictures of it or whatever, because they said that they pulled a girl in the bathroom and she performed oral sex. Sound like a white girl? That sounds like a white girl. These niggas got sucked off by a white girl and she turned around and said, oh my God, I didn't know what I was doing, and then turned them niggas in. And she pulled a Kobe Bryant. She pulled a Kobe, the thing the girl did with Kobe Bryant. Remember that? Kobe Bryant went out there to Colorado, I think. The white woman let him smash in the back. He fucked all in the ass and everything, and she turned around and said she was raped, but then they found out she was a double dick clutcher. The woman had so many semen samples in her drawers. You dig? They found out she was a real big-time double dick clutching slut. Her name was Caitlin Faber or some shit like that. But the thing is, it must have been a white girl, though. It sounds like a white girl. And I got to get some more facts. You know that Nate Parker thing. White girl have sex with you and then turn around and say that you took advantage of her. And young brothers, if you're listening, my young brothers, y'all got to be careful with that. I'm telling you, my young brothers out there, look, I know there's some cool people of different races out there. A lot of times they're throwing it at you. I get it. I know how it is. I know there's some little thick white girls out there. I'm not going to play the whole fight the power, lead them, crack a women alone. No. I know there's some fine ones out there. Y'all know it. Because, you know, a lot of black folks talk all that bullshit. I don't fuck with no white people. Then you right snuggle with some white balls in your hand. You juggling white balls, talking about how you don't fuck with white people. No, there's some attractive white people out there. All right, so be that. There's attractive white people out there, but don't get caught up. That's a Neely Fuller code. Neely Fuller talks about that in his book. He's like, no, we got to get off the bullshit. We have to understand there are some attractive white people out there. White people, you got good looking, bad looking, but don't be a damn coon. Don't let them get you caught up. Understand, black folks, whenever you lay down with anybody in the dominant society, you are still in a system of white supremacy. Don't ever forget that. Don't ever forget that. But the thing is with Cosby, I'm bringing this all back to Cosby, by the way, because with Cosby, this Andrea Constant, again, she's changing her story multiple times, and the white supremacists, they're all getting on code. And if you look at the case, we did a story on Melanoid Nation years ago about the shady backgrounds of dozens of those women. We did a story just exposing one after the other, Some of those women are known liars. Some of those women are known scam artists. Some of these women have histories of lying. Some of these women have histories of criminal and fraudulent behavior. Some of these women have told contradicting stories about their dealings with Cosby. It's laughable how inconsistent most of these women are with their stories. It's completely laughable. Some of the women claim one date, and once that get debunked, they start claiming other dates. I mean, they're not getting the dates right, the scenarios right. Then they say they were raped multiple times. It's fucking ridiculous, and black people are forced into believing it. If you say, hey, man, some of these women are kind of lying. Hey, don't you say that. You're promoting rape culture. See, they're using the I'm white and I say so narrative because, see, a lot of the white supremacists are saying, would almost 60 people go out there and tell a lie? Are 60 people lying in a system of white supremacy? Yeah. If there's money involved, yeah, 60 people will lie. Because there's money involved. This is a money grab. Let's be very clear. This ain't about victims and women. This is a money grab. This is nothing but a money grab. Will 60 people, especially most of them being suspected white supremacists, will they lie? Yeah. And I suspect that they're white supremacists because false rape accusations against black males, that's a major white supremacist pastime. And in the system of white supremacy, that's how you maintain white supremacy, getting groups of people to all agree on the same damn lie. That's how white supremacy is maintained. Groups of people who believe in white supremacy come up with the same lie, stick to that lie, and stay on code no matter what, and then get what they need done based on the lie that they've all agreed to. We see that happening in case after case. When we see black children getting their brains blown out, the white supremacists will put out a lie. Well, the black kid was aggressive. The black kid was resisting. Then all the other white supremacists, prosecutors, white supremacist media, white supremacist jurors, by the hundreds and by the thousands and by the millions, will all agree on that one lie. So yes, a whole bunch of people will get together and tell a fucking lie. That's exactly how white supremacy maintains itself. Groups of people lying, especially when it comes to black people. So yes, I do believe 60 people got together and potentially lied. The Central Park Five, somebody in the chat room, that's a great example. Groups of white supremacists got together and lied on five innocent black men. The only reason they got out of jail is because some Hispanic dude confessed to the murder himself. Then the Central Park Five got out, but groups of white supremacists all got together and lied on these black men. That's how white supremacy works. Groups of people lying. So yes, groups of people will lie. 60 people will get together and lie. And what they will do is sprinkle a couple of black folks in to try to make it not look racist. This is why they tried to blame Hannibal Buress at first. They tried to blame the whole Cosby expose on comedian Hannibal Buress. Bullshit. This dude is a damn unknown comic. Very unfunny, by the way. Nobody knows who Hannibal Buress is. They're not doing anything because of him. They planned on doing that all along. Then they pointed out the tokenized black women that they put out there. They will tokenize black women, use black women as pawns, and then push them out there and say, hey, it's not racist. Look, a couple of these black women are saying the same thing. Well, you're allowing them. You're pushing them out there to say the same thing. You don't give a shit about black women. Black women out here suffering at the hands of white supremacy, the Sandra Blands, the Rekia Borgs, the Corinne Gaines, sisters out here getting decimated by white supremacy. You ignore them, and all of a sudden you got your arm around one of them now, like, hey, me and Shaquita we're both fondled by Bill Cosby. No, stop it. The only time you prop up black women, y'all do it and make them pawns and slaves for your big white supremacist agenda. I take great offense to y'all trying to make black women your pawns and your slaves. I take great offense to that. But see, that's how the system of white supremacy works, ladies and gentlemen. White supremacists, they get on code. You know, I saw a video today. It was an incident that happened in a Starbucks up in Chicago. There's this white supremacist, and from what I understand, he's known for going in this Starbucks just starting shit, and somebody made a mistake and wastes coffee on his suit, and then he just started going on this racial rant against everybody. He's like, yeah, the blacks, you're vermin, you blacks this, you blacks that. He was just talking real greasy, and I think he spit at a couple of black folks, and there was a young brother there about to whoop his ass, and every time the brother would get ready to run up on the white supremacists, other whites would just kind of jump in between, low-key protecting the white supremacists. The white supremacists are just ranting and raving, spitting on people, and every time they're about to give them that work, they run around and protect them. And then there was like a homeless black dude who walked up to the white supremacist. This is an elderly guy, like almost, I think, in his 60s. And the white supremacist socked this dude. He was like an old homeless drunk guy, knocked the dude down. So then the young brother went and kind of touched the white supremacist up a little bit and try to help. I think he held him down until the police came or whatever. But it was just interesting to see how the people around were letting this white supremacist rant and rave and spit on people. And the minute he was about to get his ass toe up, they would run and protect and stand in front of the black people who were about to give him that work. And this is why black folks, when we're out and about and we see a white supremacist talking crazy, getting on them rants, get ready to get down and get busy and protect yourself by any means. Black folks, we got to get off this shit where we just want to sit up and film. Fuck that. You can film, but get ready to put in some damn work and protect yourself, because these white supremacists are getting real bold. They're going to start trying to spit on you, swing on you. You better be ready out here at all times. You need to have something in your pocket. Ladies, you need to have something in your purse, especially the sisters, because, you know, they go for soft targets. So you need to be ready for a random, rabid white supremacist who's going to come up to you on some bullshit. Y'all need to stay ready at all times, family. But the thing is, today, like I said, I'm talking about black people being naive to the system of white supremacy. And not just black people, people in general. That's what I'm talking about. People in general of all walks of life. Because when it comes to systematic white supremacy, everybody has this naivete thing. Everybody starts playing dumb. And nobody's dumb to the system of white supremacy. Let's be very clear. By the time you're 15 years old, you understand that there's a system of white supremacy, especially if you're a black person. If you're a black person, you know. No matter how sheltered you are, you understand what white supremacy is, or you understand what racism is, and you understand that as a black person, black people are systematically treated differently than other groups. With black folks, I will say when you're about 18, I'll say that. I'll say when you're about 18 at least, because there are some black people who grew up in neighborhoods where they never really left the neighborhood. I'll say that, and you know, their main experiences are on television, and a lot of times you're growing up around family members who might be coonish or whatever, so you don't know. But when you get out in the real world, you know. So by the time you're 18 as a black person, you understand that there's a system of white supremacy. The minute you get out there outside of the home, the minute you get out of school, of high school, when you get out into the real world, you understand that there's a system out there that treats you differently. You have to understand that. Especially if you're 18 years old, especially if you're an 18-year-old boy. Because you're the number one target of white supremacy. An 18-year-old male, that's the number one target of white supremacy. A young, virile male in his prime, black, sexually active, you are the prime target of systematic white supremacy. You have white supremacist think tanks, critical thinkers, policymakers who sit up 24 hours a day coming up with laws and policies to specifically target and attack you. Now, in the dominant white society, by the time they're 15, and Brother Neely Fuller talked about this, by the time a white person is 15, they understand the rules. But let me get on the black people, though. Because black folks, if you see an older black folks talking about ain't no racism, that's a nigga who's pretending. If you see an older black person, let's say 30 plus, in white supremacy denial or denying the system of white supremacy, I will almost guarantee that that person is a certified coon. I can almost guarantee that that person is a certified coon, because that coon has probably learned that denying the system of white supremacy is going to get me more nigga trinkets. If I keep challenging white supremacy, I'm not going to get these butter biscuits and nigga trinkets. And black folks understand, in the system of white supremacy, white mommy and white daddy, they control the economy, they control the jobs, they control the money, they control the careers for the most part, and you have to learn how to tap dance if you're going to be a part of that. Now, black people who are independent to a certain degree, and you can only be so much so independent in the system of white supremacy, but black people who are self-employed, black people who control their own businesses or whatever, these people, they fully understand white supremacy. They know. All my black people who are business owners, you know. And that's why you are a business owner, because you know. You didn't want to play office politics. You did not want to play those games. If you are a black business owner, there is no way you don't know about white supremacy. That's why when you see a lot of black business owners, many of them are not coonish. Many black business owners are not really that coonish. That's why I like dealing with black business owners, because you know the game. You know when it's time to go get your license. You know the little politics that and smoke screens they try to throw out. You know when you're trying to go get your business established, or you're trying to get a location, or you're trying to lease a building or whatever. You know that there's some politics there that you got to be cognizant of. You understand that. You understand it. And the reason you became an entrepreneur, 9 times out of 10, you were not trying to be up in the white supremacist faces in no office dealing with their bullshit. You know, the biggest coons are niggas who pride themselves on being employees. Niggas who want that status. Niggas who enjoy being up under white mommy and white daddy. And I'm not knocking anybody for having a job. You know, look, we're in a system of white supremacy. We got to work. We got to, you know, make a living. We got to pay our, you know, feed our family. And everybody who has a job is not a coon. I'm not saying that. But black folks, if you're a black person who work at a job with other black folks, you know who the fucking coon is. There's always at least one designated coon. At least. It might be multiple. But damn it, there's one designated coon at that damn job. If there's multiple black people, and if there's multiple black people at the job, and you're one of the multiple black people, and you're not a coon, you work on a different floor somewhere in the mail room, in the janitorial room, in the car washing room, somewhere like that, where there's like manual labor or something. And if you work in the office setting somewhere on the inside, and you're a black person there, you made your way on the inside close to other people in the dominant society, and there are a few other black people there, I can tell you, I can guarantee the other black people who work in that office that you've seen, there's going to be a bed wench there, and there's going to be a moist nigga switching around the office without fail. And y'all know I'm telling the damn truth. If you work at a job, you're a black person, there's some other black persons, people who work there at your job with you, and there's a lot of white people who dominate the place, they always have the Negro bed wench, if they have her, or unless she's a mammy, you know, they might have some kind of mammy receptionist or something like that. But I can almost guarantee they're going to have the moist nigga switching around the office, and I see that all the time. Every time I go to a white business and I see a black man there, that nigga is always switching. Because they look at him as non-threatening. I know we're doing 1804. There was a costume store that we went to. There's a very popular costume store out here in Hollywood. And in this costume store, all white people working there. All white people. I'm like, there's a lot of white people in here. Especially the area. The area is kind of, it's a Hispanic area where the area is, but there's nothing but white people working in there. And I'm there, you know, getting the costumes and all that. Then I heard a black voice a real sassy voice directed at me. Somebody's like, is that your Escalade? I said, who the fuck is that? And I turned around, it was a gay black dude who worked there. He's like, your Escalade is tight. I was like, oh, okay, thank you, sir. I said, okay. He's the loud, he loud, sassy, switching around the office. They love that shit. They love the loud, sassy queen in these white supremacist hubs. They love that. They love that because he's non-threatening. They don't like no straight black man, especially when there's a lot of white women or Asian women. That's another thing, too. They don't like straight, young, fly black men around a bunch of young white women, old white women, or Asian women. They don't like that. They don't like it. Because, see, they understand racial politics. The white supremacists, on a psychological level, they understand white supremacy. By the time they're 15, they know. See, black folks, it takes them a little while, around 18. But black people know. And what's interesting about the sassy gay black dude who walks around the office, he likes being the sassy gay black token. He takes pride in that, and they shower that nigga with gifts. Gay black dude's on the job. He's the superstar on the job. Oh, they love him. He's not a threat at all. He's the black friend. Notice, go look at Twitter and certain other entities. It's gay black dudes who go out of their way to defend white supremacy. There's a lot of gay coons out here. Notice, there's a lot of gay dudes who be talking shit about hidden colors. Some, not all, but a lot of dudes, they don't, anything about black empowerment, no. Intersectional. We're all about intersectionality, because all those white people are praising the little moist switching nigga. He knows about systematic white supremacy. He knows why he's there on a subconscious level, but he's relishing in it. He's happy for the attention he's getting. So black people understand. Straight black people, gay black people, black men, black women, they understand. They pretend to not know about systematic white supremacy. Even bedwinches. Bedwinches know. You know when this white supremacist is treating you like a bedwinch. You know when you're with a racist white dude, when you're bedwinching it up. You know, Bill Maher, he said some racist, you know, he said the word nigger on his show, and people were giving him a lot of flack, rightfully so. A lot of black folks came out trying to defend Bill Maher. Not cool. And then one of Bill Maher's bedwinches, because, you know, he messes with a lot of black women. That makes him think he has a green light to do it. TMZ was interviewing Coco, not Ice-T's Coco, but he was this dark-skinned chick he was messing with. She's older. Now, not a bad-looking lady, but, you know, she has that look, the bedwinch look. Most bedwinches are really jet black, slim, strong face. Her face is strong now because she's older, but she's not a bad-looking lady. But, you know, there's a type. I've been to France before, Saint-Tropez, and a lot of bedwinches over there, and they all have the same look. And TMZ was interviewing her, and she was implying that Bill Maher uses the N-word all the time. But she didn't want to come right out and say it. So she didn't want to be a snitching bedwinch, because she knows that's going to mess her up with her other bedwinching. She didn't want to go the V. Stiviano route. Y'all remember Donald Sterling's V. Stiviano? See, she fucked up being a bedwinch who snitched on what happened behind closed doors. That's why they were fucking V. Stiviano up. Somebody punched her ass. They were fucking her up because she broke the code. The white supremacists don't like that. Once they let a coon or a bedwinch in, the last thing you're supposed to do is break code and start telling what goes on behind closed doors. They really don't like that. That's why they were hell on V. Stiviano. They were hell on her. And all those gifts Donald Sterling gave to her, you know, a judge made her give them shits back. Now, when you look at those court shows, whenever you get gifts from somebody, they tell you, you can't return a gift. A gift is a gift. You look at all those courtroom shows, they always tell you, even with child support, like, hey, I gave my baby mama money every month. Well, sir, that was a gift. You owe more money. That was a gift. I don't care. You paid $20 million in child support. Did you go through us? Nope, that was a gift. It don't matter. It don't count.
So they tell you just giving somebody something is a gift. You can't do shit about a gift. You can't, a gift don't count. But shit, B. Stiviano, they're like, bitch, you better give all them cards back. All that shit he gave you, give it back. Those are gifts. Give them gifts back. With your black ass. They changed the rules right on up. They're like, we're not going to let you break the code on us. But black folks understand. Black folks are not naive to white supremacy. Black people are not naive whatsoever. If you are naive, you're just cooning. And white people understand white supremacy. By the time they're 15, like our brother Neely Fuller said, by the time you're 15 years old, you're supposed to know all the rules and the ins and outs of white supremacy, because you will get in trouble with other white people if you don't know the rules. There's no way you don't know the rules if you're a white person in the system of white supremacy. I'm not saying all white people are white supremacists, but you know the rules. You understand what white supremacy is, all that naive bullshit. No, they understand. Especially white girls, white women definitely understand. They tell white women at a very young age, don't bring no Negroes home. White girls are told that by the age of 5. When white women learn how to talk, white girls learn how to talk and walk, that's drilled into their heads. And if you're a white person listening to the show, you know I'm telling the damn truth. You know I'm saying the truth. That's drilled into your head by the time you're 5 years old, by the time you can understand what a television is and what the color is. Once you learn the colors in the crayon box, okay, this is red, this is magenta, this is gray, this is black. Now, sweetie, you don't bring this one home, okay? They tell you at a very young age, and you know it. But the thing is, in the system of white supremacy, people in the dominant society are very aware. They are extremely aware. And not just here, because there's this narrative that foreign white people don't really understand racism, and that's a crock of bullshit. When we did Ism Radio this week, we had the sister on there. Her name is Paris, beautiful dark sister, the one who was married to the white guy. And this is another thing too, and I don't know where y'all sisters are getting this bullshit, because I keep hearing this over and over again. They will say, well, my husband is not white, he's Italian. And I keep hearing this bullshit over and over again. Will y'all please stop that? Y'all not fooling nobody. You're trying to minimize your bedwinching. I hear this over and over and over again. He's not really white, he's Italian. Italians are white. Let's stop with that. Italians, they're not no separate race of people. Please stop that. Especially the Italian Americans here are some of the biggest racist fucks you will ever want to meet in your life. The Italians here are some of the biggest racist fucks you ever want to meet. Not all of them, but too many of them. Please stop that. He's Italian. He's not really white. He don't understand. Fuck that bullshit. Let's stop with this goofy shit. They know what racism is, especially the ones over there too. Now, look, I've been to Italy. I had a lot of love over there in Italy, man. Good people over there. So they're not overtly racist, but they understand what racism is. They're not naive. It's not as pronounced over here. It's not as seeped into the lexicon as it is over here. This was built on white supremacy, just literally built. White supremacy is in the fabric and the foundation of this society. Over there is a little bit different, but there's still white supremacy, though. Let's not get it twisted. Because Italians who came over here, they did correspond with Italians over there. They know what a damn Guinea is. They know what the racial epithets are. They know what a Guinea is. A Guinea, they used to call Italians Guineas, and that's like calling them an African, because the Italians are mixed with that Moorish blood. That's why the Southern Italians are so dark. So they would call them Guineas, meaning a Guinea African, as an insult. So they know. They know. And the young lady on the show this week, she was saying that, yeah, my husband is an Italian, And when he came over here, he didn't understand. He didn't really understand racism. I mean, he didn't know. And I'm like, that's bullshit. I ain't buying that. And you shouldn't buy that either. He know. And she said something that really let me know he knew. She said her husband was listening to a rap record. And he was like, well, how come I can't say the word nigga? Because the rappers say it. Bull, he know. He knows. This motherfucker knows all that. I'm a foreigner. I'm naive. I don't know what is the racism. What is that? I don't know. What is a nigga? I don't know. Bullshit. They know. Because I pointed out some of those soccer games over there in Italy. You go to them soccer games and a black player is out there beating the white ones. All of a sudden, they know what racism is then. They start calling the black players all kind of monkeys and throwing bananas on the field. They do all that type of shit in Italy. They ain't dumb. Let's stop that. Let's stop conning. They are not dumb, and black folks, stop believing that. All my European brothers and sisters, y'all know what I'm talking about. They be calling all types of monkeys. The monkey! They know. But we got to stop playing that game. We got to really stop playing that whole naive game where people act like they don't know what the fuck is going on. Because people in the dominant society, they are not naive to systematic white supremacy. And in Europe, they know. In Europe, your brothers out there getting brutalized by police in Europe. In France, they're getting brutalized out there. And I've been to England, London. Racism is still out there. It's in different forms. It's in some cases more subtle, some cases more overt. But they understand. They understand exactly what it is. But the thing is, people in the dominant society, they have the luxury of denial. And black people, you don't. So black people, you have to stop waiting on the white supremacists or people in the dominant society to give you this confession. Black people have this thing where we're waiting on them to confess so they could kind of make amends for all the systematic white supremacy. It doesn't work like that. They're not going to make amends. They're going to keep playing dumb until the damn wheels fall off. And it's not your job to sit there and try to convince them like they don't know. All of a sudden, when it comes to dealing with racism, the white supremacists, they know everything. The white supremacists, they control and run the planet. They understand everything. They control everything. So, of course, they understand everything. They understand science, physics, mathematics, language, everything. But when it comes down to systematic white supremacy, all of a sudden, I don't know. I'm from Italy. I don't know. Oh, they turn into the fucking Super Mario Brothers. What's that? I don't know. I make a spaghetti. I don't know. Shut up. Stop with the fucking con. They know. And you know when you're being treated like a bedwinch out there too, ladies. That motherfucker know. They know. Anyway, y'all, that's been today's episode of Tariq Radio. Yo, go to TariqElite.com. We got a lot of nice t-shirts, a lot of nice clothes. It's summertime. Get the Tariq Elite International sunglasses. Get that popping at TariqElite.com. Where are my people from Dubai? I'm going to Dubai next month. I'm going out there next month. So all my people, if you're in Dubai, hit me up. Let me know what's popping out there. Let me know what's going on out there. I'm going to be out there. So y'all let me know what's popping. Email me at info@TariqElite.com so we can chop it up. All my brothers and sisters out there, let me know what's popping. 1804 coming, man. It's coming. I can't wait. I will make the announcement pretty soon when the actual release date is. So we're getting this thing real tight. Go to HiddenColorsFilm.com. Get Hidden Colors 1, 2, 3, and 4, ladies and gentlemen. And y'all go to my Tariq Live page on YouTube. Tariq Live. Go to YouTube. Type in Tariq Live. And everybody, if you're listening right now, subscribe right now to the Tariq Live page. Subscribe to it right now. So you can get the videos and you can get notifications when I put the videos up. We got the new crispy skit up. People love the crispy skit. People are loving the crispy skit. They absolutely love it. All right. So Tariq Live on YouTube. I'm going to holla. Y'all have a good one. I'm going to see you guys on Ustream this Sunday.